Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my Lady of Elegance and lover of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my love, and we are continuing in the book of Daniel, all on our webpage if you need to catch up. We hope you have, so far, found it easy to understand this history. And now we're going a little deeper, as God expects of us in His Word. So let's open with a Hoda prayer, which is Hebrew for thankful.
Oh Lord, we are indeed very thankful in everything, for everything and for every day of our existence, as we count all joy, knowing we will see you face to face very soon. We pray for the peace not only in Israel, but also in Ukraine. May you endow those involved with your humble wisdom, match your divine will. We pray supernatural protection and a quick release for Israel's remaining hostages. We also ask that you consider all the prayers of those who are called by your name, especially for the salvation of all our loved ones. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Zelensky really blew it.
I'll say. For he had previously told Trump he liked the mineral deal and came to Washington to sign it. But he made the mistake of meeting with some congressional Democrats first, who told Zelensky not to take the deal without better security promises, which, of course, Trump cannot do. But everyone knows if we have a vested interest in Ukraine, that is security. So Trump cut all funding to Ukraine, and now Zelensky says he will sign it. But Trump will probably make it a little harder, so we'll see. But Putin was surely happy and has offered to help Trump concerning Iran's nuclear ambitions.
And that is big.
Yes.
But Trump was right about Zelensky.
Yes, because Zelensky had the ability to never let the war begin in the first place. If only he had, they would, all he had to say was that he would not enter NATO and also not overexpand the size of his army.
Because Russia considered that a threat.
Of course, total surroundings by NATO countries. And even after a month into the war, Putin repeated his requests. But Biden, you know, the military-industrial complex puppet, lied to Zelensky and said, go to war, and we will help you win. But then slow-walked the weaponry, which he knew would further extend the war.
Making the war hawks richer.
Yes, manufacture and sell more weapons that we, the taxpayers, pay for. So now, after 70,000 casualties and probably more, the demands are the same. Zelensky has to say he accepts the fact he cannot enter NATO. And if he would have done that 3 years ago, Russia would not have entered Ukraine. And now Zelensky just said the war will last a long time. Wow, that's chutzpah. And Trump wants him gone.
Well, maybe their leaders and people will do a coup.
Maybe, because he won't allow elections.
Which is his prerogative during wartime.
Yeah, it is. But Europe says they will help Ukraine, so we'll see what they do, which they should have done 3 years ago. Their little contributions were extremely less than ours. Zelensky is a fraudster and can't account for billions of dollars we gave him, so what's that tell you? And they have many secretive labs, biolabs as well.
You mean like the one in Wuhan, China?
Yes. And you can bet Trump knows a lot more, but can openly say just only a little bit. But I feel bad for the Ukrainians, and we need to pray for the innocent people and the soldiers.
Yeah, they do deserve better.
A lot better.
Israel update.
Yeah, Hezbollah in Lebanon is pretty much out of the picture and can't get weapons through Syria from Iran, who are Shiites. And they can't get them anymore due to the takeover of Assad's regime last December by the Sunnis, the jihadist group Hayat Tahrir al-Sham.
Or HTS for short.
Yeah. However, Netanyahu has still warned HTS that Israel will not allow HTS forces to enter the territory south of Damascus, and that the IDF will remain in the Hermon sector and the buffer zone on the Syrian side of the Golan Heights indefinitely to protect the Jewish communities and thwart any threat. And Hamas has till tomorrow to decide to extend phase one through Ramadan that began Friday and through the Passover holidays. Also, release half of remaining hostages and all dead bodies in exchange for more Palestinian prisoners, or they can face severe consequences.
Meanwhile, small attacks are happening in various places.
Yes, recently in Haifa and Samaria, with a few deaths from stabbings and small explosives. Remember during Ramadan, which changes every year, by the way, they fast during the daylight hours and feast every night, with attacks usually increasing during this month.
And now, and Israel has now halted all aid into Gaza.
Yes, because most of it's not getting to the people anyway, and certainly not the hostages, who, as we have seen, look starved.
And the Pope is not doing so well.
Right. He has had a terrible setback.
May God's will be done.
Amen.
And President Trump is giving his address tonight in little less than an hour.
And we can be sure to hear about his many, and I repeat, many accomplishments, and what he's planning next. And I hope he addresses the increase in anti-Semitism on campuses happening again.
And stop their funding to, right now, I think, 9 of them.
I think he will. But remember, God wants his people to make Aliyah. And by the way, they are, and many are in the planning. And Trump will surely mention our huge progress made with fentanyl and how the cartels are sweating it.
All right, then. We do welcome your comments and end-time questions either by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006, or by mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And if you could tuck in a love offering, we would really appreciate that, which will add you to our correspondence list. Or you can receive our electronic newsletters when you sign up with any donation on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will also find our past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your learning pleasure.
Okay, in Daniel chapter 7, we saw last week how Daniel takes us back to when King Belshazzar was reigning, only about a year in his reign, when Daniel had his dream and visions in his head of four voracious beasts we know to represent the four empires, starting with the current empire of Babylon.
Then the Medes and Persians.
Yeah, that's represented by the bear, followed by Greece's Alexander the Great, as the leopard who springs quickly, and he did. And finally, Rome with its iron teeth, who, by the way, did use a lot of iron in all its weaponry.
It's also called the Iron Age.
It was. We also spoke of how it was the same four empires that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, but in the image of a man, each with a different, stronger metal, finishing with legs of iron.
But then the feet of iron was mixed with clay.
So we concluded that Nebuchadnezzar saw his dream as a man would see them. But now in Daniel's dream is how God sees the empires, as beasts.
With the last one as Rome, having 10 toes.
That show up as 10 horns.
Horns means rulership.
Right. And that was in Daniel's vision. It represents 10 major elite, I believe, rich men that are prominent figures. And I believe they're around right now. Also, you'll notice some similar language as breaking in pieces. that we also read in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, chapter 2, verse 40. And here again in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, and because for us today, hindsight is 20/20, we recognize the fact that there had to be a gap of time in there for it to make sense and where we begin tonight, because we are right now in that gap of time, and we call that the church age.
And verse 8 is certainly seen on our horizon.
Oh, it sure is, and we'll see that. The first thing Daniel points out as we move into verse 8 is that he saw there was another little horn coming out from amongst the ten.
So, an 11th horn?
Yes. But before we go on, let's explain that sometimes in the Old Testament, since the church was a mystery to them, gaps of time would occur every so often, like an unseen space in a verse, which usually prophesies about his first coming, and then jumps to events that will happen around the time of his return. Let's look at a great example in Isaiah 9 that begins in verse 6.
For unto us a child is born.
And there's a space there.
Unto us a son is given.
There's the space.
And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end.
All right, so a son is giving. Okay, so we know that happened. But the government at his first coming was not at that time going to be on his shoulders.
That's still to come, which is one reason the Jews missed it.
Right. They were looking for a king to bring peace, not knowing that the church age precedes that, and that their Messiah had to be that perfect sacrifice to pay their debt for sin. Then it's up to the people to accept the free gift or follow another.
Well, you know, God always does give us a choice.
And it's a pity how so many refuse God's offer.
It's the art of the deal made by God himself.
Oh, it's a great deal. And God gives all people a free choice of who they want to follow.
So, the church age is referred to as the gap theory in the Old Testament.
Yeah, that's what we call it. And a little bit in the book of Revelation 12 between verses 5 and 6, because most is about the tribulation, which of course we won't be here for. And we'll talk more about that a little later on.
You mean in Daniel 9?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, here in Daniel 7, between verses 5 and 8, 7 and 8, we see a gap. So, let's read verse 7 again as he describes the coming Roman Empire. And then verse 8 as he describes part B of the still coming ruler from Rome.
After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before, and it had 10 horns.
As we said, the 10 toes from Nebuchadnezzar's image are seen in Daniel's vision of 10 horns, or I think 10 elite globalists who have no kingdom. And we get that from Revelation 17:12. And I think we should look at that. Honey, would you read that?
The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour.
And that just means a short time.
As kings.
Or rulers.
With the beast.
Anyhow, back to Daniel, as we see the gap while Daniel considers what he was seeing in his head. By the way, the word for considers means some element of time was happening before he sees the little horn emerge. So read verse 8 now.
I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots.
By the way, the word for plucked implies it will be somewhat gradual in Hebrew.
And there in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of a man and a mouth, speaking pompous words.
So we know the horn represents a man with a big and prideful mouth. And to confirm he's a man, verse 11 tells us he has a body. And also in Revelation 11 and Revelation 13, and he will make an image of himself that can talk like a robot using AI, I'm sure. So that's one description. Now in verses 9 and 10, still in Daniel 7, we have a picture of what will be taking place in heaven when the Antichrist is doing his thing on earth.
Daniel, he has kind of a split screen, so to speak.
Yeah, kind of. So Daniel sees into heaven thrones and the Ancient of Days dressed in white with woolish white hair seated on a fiery throne with 10,000 upon 10,000s standing before him, and the books were opened.
You know, that's 100 million.
That is so. And according to Revelation 5, there's thousands more than that.
We can assume these are many angels.
Yes, to include his higher elevated angels that God calls his divine council. That Psalm 82 verse 1 refers to, and I think you should read that too, honey.
God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment.
They were also called gods with a little g, of course.
Or Elohim in Hebrew.
That's right. And that verse is taken from the ESV that was interpreted from the Dead Sea Scrolls.
You like this version?
Yes. Although it's not perfect, as there are some holes in the original manuscript. After all, it's 2,000 years old. And, of course, that's just the Old Testament. But I have to admit, since my eye surgery, I had to order a new Bible with the large print, so I ordered another ESV. But when I teach, I confirm pretty much everything alongside the Hebrew interlinear to make sure it's reasonably the same.
By the way, let me just say that besides paying for airtime, we spend a lot on books and research material. Just thought they should know that.
Yes, and we thank those few generous souls, and you know who you are. May God reward you mightily. So this is the Father about to judge the bride for her rewards, and it's called the Beam of Judgment that takes place when we arrive. And notice the books is plural. There are at least four references to writings in heaven, as in the Book of Remembrance, Malachi 3:16,
the Book of Life in Daniel 12:1,
and Isaiah 65:6 speaks of the writings of evil deeds. So that is, of course, of the unrighteous for the great white throne judgment. So verses 9 and 10 is kind of like, say, hey, check this out, and shows Daniel some happy scenes in his dream.
But then back to work.
Yes, but just for two verses of 11 and 12, where God continues with another good event by informing Daniel, don't be concerned, for in the end, as we know from Revelation 19, that Yeshua will come on a white horse and slay the beast and the false prophet. As for the rest of the beasts, who already had their dominion taken away previously, well, they were waiting for a certain season and a time for their demise.
Probably as part of the sheep and goat judgment of Matthew 25.
And Satan will be chained up and out of commission till the end of the Messianic kingdom, when he will be then unchained to tempt the humans on the earth at that time. So they too can have a choice whom they want to serve.
As we do today.
Amen. But now in verses 13 and 14, Daniel's focus is back in heaven, and watches Yeshua approaching the Father, and Jesus arrives with the clouds, meaning, as confirmed in Hebrews 12, with the saints from the rapture. And he is given, and Jesus is given, an everlasting dominion over everything. In other words, it's his coronation, also confirmed in Revelation 5, as he takes the scroll, which is the title deed to the earth, and opens the seals, which of course you can read about in Revelation 6.
So, Daniel and Revelation are companions.
Yes, both are apocalyptic. And when Daniel awakens, he asks the one standing by, as in, we assume the angel Gabriel, to explain his dream. He did say that the saints will, after the tribulation, possess the kingdom, and that the four beasts are four kings, which we already covered, of course.
And by the way, those four beasts are also in Revelation 13.
They are, as in the Antichrist portraying all four of these empirical kings. But Daniel wanted more details about the fourth beast in particular, the little horn with the iron teeth, and the three horns that fell. Daniel does recall watching the beast, which is the Antichrist, making war against the tribulation saints, and he's winning. But eventually the saints will possess the kingdom along with us when we return at the end in Revelation 19. And by the way, only once is Jesus also called the Ancient of Days, here in Daniel 7, verse 22.
Remember, I and my Father are one.
That's right, as in the Trinity. And the Ancient of Days name signifies that Yeshua is eternal also. It also says in verse 22 that he comes in judgment. If you recall, when we taught on the feasts, there are 2 days of judgment. One is on Rosh Hashanah, and the other is on Yom Kippur, which is why we think he will return on a Yom Kippur, as you read the hint that he will come in judgment. It says that. That's in favor of the tribulation saints, and why we will be taken up, I believe, on a Rosh Hashanah to receive our rewards. There will also be a judgment on those left behind. We will review all this. I know this is a lot to take in, but we will review it again and hopefully finish chapter 7 next week, and we might even get into chapter 8. All right, but until then, let me just ask you an important question. Is Yeshua over your whole life? I don't mean just when you need him, you know, like a part-time savior, but totally, all the time? Or do you know him at all? Are you saved? You know, Luke 21 says that you can escape the coming fiery judgment with just a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your spirit, into your whole being. And then let him have dominion over you instead of the god of this world. Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then the devil is. And that is a fact. There is no in-between. And if you call yourself a Christian but you are lukewarm, get out, get your act together right now. Tithe your time in God's word. You need it for discernment. More word, more Jesus. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper. Till next time, shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.